Hallelujah. I want to speak to you this morning on there is a to following Christ. It will cost you something. Amen. And I think we've come up in a society where many of the churches and society itself has made it all about me. It's all about you, society. It's all about what I can get. Like Pastor would say, you know, get all you can all you get, and then sit on the can to make sure nobody gets anything out of your can. Amen. And so we've kind of developed this mentality. And it's funny because through history, if you look at history, how it goes, when the nation is struggling is when you're the strongest. And then we start getting prosperous and we begin to prosper. And how many parents, I know I did it. I didn't want my children to struggle the same way I had to struggle. Yeah. And so we, each generation, wanted to pour more on the next generation. And if you were one of those generations that were able to progress and move out of poverty and move it to a different level, we almost made the mistake of giving them too much too fast without any responsibility. Amen. Now, because if you're from the old school, I was laughing. If you are from the old school, when you got out there and you worked until it was done. And you didn't complain because you weren't allowed to complain. It was like, you young, shut up, going over there and do that work. You know, and you did it. And so you look to the next generation, they're like, it's hot. I'm tired. You know, I remember telling my grandmother, my back hurts. She goes, child, you're too young for your back to hurt. Okay, you know, things like that. And so each generation has moved a little further out and a little further out. And so we begin to lose the ability to press in and to move past obstacles because we feel like obstacles should be moved for us. Because we've made it a habit as the parent, especially my generation, you know, you're coming up baby boomers. Okay. And so you've moved obstacles out of your children's way. And we forgot to give them the responsibility with it. And so we carry that into our relationship with Christ. And we've become a people that think that he's just a big gift box. And if we don't get what we want from him, when we want it, how we want it, then we tend to get upset. And we think he doesn't love us. Or we're doing something wrong. You know, all of these thoughts the enemy brings into your mind because you're not getting it, have it your way right away. Amen. And I see it over and over, and I listen to people talk, and again, I love studying people. I will go to the mall and just sit, and I'm not to be like nosy, but I'll listen to different conversations going by and people talking to some of the things they are saying and where they're at, you know, and I'm like, wow. Okay. I heard somebody didn't even know. I'm like, I'm mad at God. I prayed for this and he didn't give it to me. I was like, wow, okay. Took everything I had to butt into the conversation, okay. You know, but you hear that and you start to think, God, you know, we've got to grow to a different level. We've got to step up to the next place. We've got to dig in deep, and we've got to get some good roots down so that we can stand in the days of adversity. Amen? Amen, because adversity comes to every life. If you live long enough, you will face something in your life. And so I want to so much to prepare God's people to stand in the midst of the storm. Amen. And then to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and come out on the other side entirely wanting nothing. And I'm not talking all the time about goods. I'm talking about your attitude and how you handle things. Amen. And that we don't treat Jesus with this disrespectful, a way that has been coming down the pipe these days. Okay. They, art, how they talk about Jesus, how they use his name in vain, God's name in vain. All these things are so prevalent now, we don't even gasp at it anymore. And we've dumbed down the church and we've disrespected Jesus. And in that, we've lost ground. And so now we have to come back and we have to take back ground that we have lost. So it will cost you something. You'll have to do something. It will cost you something. Go to Matthew 10 with me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. 10:34. I love all the grace teaching. I believe in grace because it is by grace that I stand here today. It is by grace. I did enough stuff and got in enough bad situations. I wasn't one of those people that came up in a saved home. So I was out there and the Lord had lots of grace on me and saved my life lots of times. And I know he did. Amen. And so I'm thankful for that. And so we live on the grace mode. Okay. And we think, oh, Jesus, he's just, you know, so peaceful and so loving. But I was reading this and I said, God, this is so true. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. My God. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life will find it. I had a button one time and it said, you're not living until you have something to die for. And I wanted that button, and the guy, I got it from, I was in the PTA convention, and the guy, he says, you know, nobody out of all these thousands of people that are here, not one person asked me for this button. He goes, why do you want this button? I said, because if I'm not willing to die for Jesus, then I can't really live for him. And you got to get that down in you. If you're not willing to die for Jesus, then it will be difficult for you to live for Jesus. And so he's saying here, yes, I came as the Savior, but what you have to understand that it will cost you something, because there are families, I know he's looking down into different people's lives, and you'll have those families and they'll always be together and they all love the Lord. And that is just an awesome place to be. If you have a family that's like that, cherish it. That is a blessing. But there are families that when you come to the Lord, that they ostracize you. They don't want to have anything to do with you. And if you cannot love Jesus more than that relationship, then you will back up and you'll back away from the saving grace of Christ, and you'll move back into relationships that pull you away from Christ. I want to tell you that there are times in your life where you will want to be in situations and with people and around people, and you will want to be with them, but they won't want to be with you because of the light that lives in you. And light just reflects onto darkness, casts it out, exposes it, and people don't like to be exposed. So they're not going to want to be around you, because when you walk in the room, there should be a presence and a light that is in you that you bring with you into every situation. Amen. People should know that about you. It's funny. Sometimes you can walk into situations and you have the presence of the Lord on you and they don't even know that you're saved, but they're uncomfortable around you. They're just uncomfortable. You ever felt that before when you went someplace and you're carrying Jesus with you and you walk in the room and you can feel the discomfort around you, because darkness doesn't like the light. And it may become times that you have to stand up for what is right. There may be times when you may have someone in your family, maybe your own children, that move into the homosexual lifestyle. What do you do with that? Do you discount Jesus, the Word of God, in order to placate that because you want that love, you want that relationship, you want that acceptance? Come on, I'm posing some difficult questions for you, but if we don't deal with the difficult questions, we are not going to be able to stand. We have to deal with the difficult questions. He said that I have come to cause that division. That division, in other words, will come. He's not saying don't love your mother, don't love your child. He's not saying that, but he's saying love me, commit to me above everything. Love me, honor me above everybody. That is not easy. It will cost you something. It will hurt your feelings at times. It will put you in positions where people won't like you at all. If you look at the Muslims and some of their children that have come to the Lord, they have to hide from their parents for fear of being killed. That cost them everything that was precious to them, their family unit. And so you have got to fix it in your mind that no matter what the cost is, no matter in relationship, we're talking relationship here, no matter what the cost is in relationship, you have to be able to say, I love you, I truly do, but I cannot condone what you're doing. I want to have this relationship with you, But you have to understand that I can't do the things that you do. When I got saved, I had friends. I hung out. I did, you know, things, ran to the clubs, all of that. And then when I honestly found, or Jesus found me, really, and it became real to me. I mean, we play church. But when it becomes real to you, and you understand the price that was paid for you, and the love that he has given unto you, and the forgiveness that belongs to you, and you want to please him, because when you really know him, you want to please him. And so I said, okay, I can't smoke anymore. I don't want to smoke anymore. You know? I don't want to do drugs anymore. So the people that were doing drugs, well, you all goody two shoes, you know, so you lose friends. The people I used to run with, you lose friends. Communication with my dad, you save. Now you lose communication. You hold the love. You never let go of that. You always love them, but it may cost you that. Young people, they go to school and the harsh environment. And they stand up for Jesus. For instance, you still a virgin? Well, yeah, because the Lord commands me to be pure and to wait. Are you kidding me? The whole world tells you not to. So what do? Do you stand for Christ and take the teasing and the ridicule? You don't cuss. I don't hang out. I don't cuss with everybody else. I don't act like that. I don't bully. I don't push around other people. I don't act bad like that. Do you take the ridicule to be different? Can you dare to be different? Do you have the strength within you to stand against that and to stand up and be for Christ? Or do you just, because you want to be accepted, now this is not just young, but this is adults too. You want to be accepted, so you fall over into the category with them and you start doing the things that they do, saying the things that they say, coarse gesturing and all these things that the word tells us not to do. That is not good for you. Do you have the ability to step aside and say, you know what, I'm going to stand for Christ? It costs you something. Not easy. A little bit of meat today. My God. So Christ came with light. Darkness has to flee. He who finds me, you will find your life in him. True life. I can remember thinking that the moment I get saved, it's going to be so boring. Life is going to be boring because, to be honest, sinning was fun. It has to be fun to entice you. You hear me? We don't tell our kids this stuff either. It has to be fun or you wouldn't do it. There has to be some allure to it or you wouldn't be involved in it. There has to be some kind of puffing up or building up of oneself or you would not run to sin and not run to Christ. Amen. And so I had the mindset that to be saved is going to be boring, but it's really funny. When I finally got saved and really started serving the Lord, I can remember we go to restaurants and people would say, what are you guys drinking? We're not drinking anything. This is the Holy Ghost. We're laughing and having a good time. And I can remember everything that we did. Amen. And you're rejoicing and you feel good when you leave there. You don't have the hangover the next day. You know, and we've closed down restaurants, just being with a group of fellowship and fellowshipping together. Loving the Lord, loving one another. It has been the best fun I've ever had in my life. And so the lie that the enemy tells you is that it will cost you too much to serve Christ. When in actuality, the cost that you pay to serve Christ is nothing near what you're going to pay if you serve the enemy. Because serving Christ, the end game to that is heaven, eternal life. Serving the devil and being in his game and playing with his game, the end to that is hell. You choose. Is it worth the cost? I'm always weighing. What is that going to cost me? Okay. And am I going to have to give up to do this? And am I going to have to give up to do that? And sickness, pain, strife, my body breaking down, peace, joy, love, relationship, eternal life. I'm always weighing cost. Weigh cost. Weigh the cost. You do that when you buy a car. You do that when you go shopping. You get the newspaper. You look at the different sales. You want the best price. Amen. Weigh it. He is telling us to weigh these things. One of the other ways that it will cost us, let's go to Luke 6. Now, if you read all into this, there are areas where Christ is telling us that you need to love, you need to do good, you need to love your enemies. Amen. Nowhere in it does the Lord say that you allow yourself to be abused, but he does say that you love. Okay, you don't stay in abusive places. I've always believed that, and I believe that's where the Lord is at with it. But we do have to be able to stand up under some pressure here with people. Amen. Because we serve a loving God. Now, he comes to the end of that whole conversation and saying, do not judge, about you being judged. And he's working through all of this because I want to preface what I'm going to read to you, because everybody uses this strictly for giving of money. And that's not all that he is talking about, although the Word of God does tell us to give. Amen. And sometimes in your giving, you have to sacrifice your own feelings to give. You have to sacrifice your own desires to give. You have to do that in relationship. You have to do that with people. You have to do that with people you don't like. You have to do that as husband and wife. Sometimes you don't want to apologize, but you need to apologize. We don't like humbling ourselves. Okay, our pride. I wasn't wrong. I ain't gonna be sorry. Why should I have to say I'm sorry? Well, sometimes you need to, because you need to love. You need to mature past your emotions and your feelings and your hurt feelings and your pride, because pride comes before a fall. Every time you sit on your pride, you will lose. You lose. You lose with God because you will not humble yourself before him, and you will lose with relationships because relationships cannot bear pride. Because after all, in order for you to have a relationship with Christ, you have to drop all of your pride, and you have to stand completely naked, emotionally, spiritually, soulishly, and you have to come empty for him to fill you. If you have a lot of pride, that is a difficult thing to do. Pride hides imperfection. Being puffed up and prideful will hide your hurts. If you look and you're around very prideful people, usually there's a lot of deep-seated hurt working in them. And so you have to understand that and be able to work past that to get to the core issue. That's what pride does. It hides, it covers, it pushes away. God. And so he is dealing in all of these areas, and especially about loving. And so he comes to this part of it where it says, give, I'm sorry, no, 38, it will be 638. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That's why they tell you, if you want friends, be friendly. If you want money, give. If you want a strong, solid, good marriage, love unconditionally. Love. Cover. Forgive. Don't judge. Leave it alone. Let God handle it. See, all of these things are in that giving category. We all, when we say give, we always want to lock it down to money. And yes, you should give. That is the way that you sow seed for God to pour back into you. It is set into motion. It's like what goes up must come down. Amen. There is gravity. When you give, God gives back to you. But it's not just money. It's in everything that we do. And that will cost you something. That will cost you getting your way. That will cost your feelings sometimes. And that's when we begin to mature in Christ and we realize, Lord, you said to love. You said to give to this person. Well, I'm going to give my time to this person. I'm going to give my words of affirmation to this person. I'm going to give and assess the situation and give what is needed into the situation, because we always want somebody to like us. We always want somebody to give to us. We always want, but what measure are you issuing? It will cost you something. You want relation. Are you building into that? We've been talking about relationships. And the one thing he said that stood out to me is that you cannot have a relationship without being open and revealing something about yourself. And the bottom line is, every time we do it, we run the risk of getting hurt. Every time. But are you willing to pay the cost to have that? I am. Been stepped on, feelings have been hurt lots of times. Lots of times. But that's dealing with people, broken, hurt people. And so you take that to Christ, and you're willing to pay that cost, and then you begin pouring out again. Have you ever been, those that give and you tithers and you know, have you ever been in that place where you knew you didn't have enough money to make it through the month? It's like, what is going on? We ain't gonna have nothing to eat. This is crazy. And somehow, some way, God meets your need, and you don't even realize how he did it, but he did it. You know? Because we position ourselves in him. We position ourselves. We condition ourselves to say, this is what it cost. This is what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to pay the cost to have that relationship. I'm willing to pay the cost to give. Sometimes you have to give sacrificially. You don't have a lot. I do not believe that God is this, if you don't tithe, you'll never have nothing, God. I don't believe that. I believe his mercies are new every day. I believe he gives us time to grow. I believe he works with us, and he's long-suffering, and he's patient, and he's kind. I believe all of that. I've seen people that don't, and God has carried them and blessed them. The only difference is you activate a blessing in that. And that is the same way with anything. You activate a blessing. If you are kind and you give, then that will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He gives to us. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So don't be locked down in that scripture just to that. Amen? Let's go, let me see here, a little further down, and let's go to 646. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house. And underline this if you have your Bible, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, Jesus. And when the floods arose, and they will come, and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. The flip side to that is those that don't. You build a house, you don't build it on the foundation, the winds will come and blow, the stream will come against you, and it will fall, and great will be the fall of it. He is telling you here that you have got to dig deep. The cost to having this relationship, the cost to having this ability to stand in the midst of the storm, the cost of being able to stand up against when the flood waters rise, and you are looking at the flood waters around you, and you're like, oh Lord, we're going to die. Okay, in any situation, so many situations come against us. But if you have not dug deep, if you have not developed that deep relationship with Christ, if you have not laid the foundation on him, we must lay the foundation on him. That will cost you time. That will cost you prayer. That will cost you digging deep. That will cost you getting your Bible and getting your concordance and sitting down and looking up scripture and reading and spending time with him, that you have built a confidence. You're laying brick by brick, stone upon stone, but the foundation is Jesus Christ, and we begin to build on him. And as we're building on him, we know that the winds may come and we may get a little shaky, but our foundation is deep with him. If you any kind of building, it's they build up, they dig down for the foundation. They have to lay the foundation. We were downtown LA, and they were building a new building, and I kind of peeked through the fence, and I was like, wow, ooh, that is like deep. They dug. I was like, they really dug down deep, which tells me they're going to build a tall building. Can you sustain in the midst of the storm? Have you taken the time to pay the cost, to have that sense of awareness of who he is? Have you laid stone upon stone, precept upon precept? Have you taken time to understand who Jesus is? Because if you don't know who he is, and he's the one that delivers, and he's the one that saves, then you will begin to think that he is against you. And he's not. And what happens if you think he's against you? Who do you turn to? great will be the fall of that house. So the cost to that is taking the time to spend with him, to sup with him, to talk with him, to dig deep into his word. Dig deep. If you dig deep and you lay your foundation, things will come against you, but in the end, you will still be standing. No matter what, you will still be standing. And he's telling you the storms will come. They will come. They will come. They will come. Sickness will come. They will come. Do you reject it or do you receive it? Do you know that his word says that by his stripes I'm healed? Have you studied that out? Do you know that he cares about you? Do you believe that? Dig deep. I dig deep. Dig deep into him. Lay a foundation that is unshakable and you will stand. Oh God, I love you so much, Lord, that he gives us the ability to dig deep. Because he wouldn't say you could if you couldn't. So you can. Amen. We were listening to Joyce. She said, it doesn't take no great intelligence. Please. I'm not a real strong reader. Spelling. Okay, missed that in school. Whole lot of things went on in my life. And I tell you what. I will read. And if I don't get it the first time, if I got to read it 100 times, I will read it. And read it. And read it. And read it. And I'll ask, Lord, you have to open my eyes to this. Open my eyes to this. He's that kind of God. And he will give it to you. He will give it to you. Amen. Amen. I want to read some ifs to you. All right. I'm just not going to turn to it, but I'm going to read some ifs to you. Okay. Matthew 18:19. If two of you agree, it will be done by my Father. That's an if. And if you will, I will. Matthew 18:35. If you forgive, I will forgive. I'm going to kind of pause on that one for a minute because some of us have had some horrific things happen to them. And it is very difficult to say, I forgive. And Jesus is not trying to make you sad or hurt you, but he knows that if you walk in unforgiveness and that stays in you, that it begins to eat you alive. So he knows this. And so he is telling you that in me, you can walk in forgiveness. Amen. He doesn't say you have to jump back over in the fence and let the dog keep biting you. Okay. All right. But he does say you have to forgive. Pray for them. When do good, pray for them. Quality decision, feelings catch up later. Amen. Come on now. But the longer you live in it, the longer you rehearse it, the more it releases poisons into your body, and your body begins to break down. Your attitudes begin to break down. Your relationships begin to break down because that one incident controls your life. So he is telling you, forgive. I'm telling you, forgive. If you forgive, I will forgive you. So if I'm walking in unforgiveness, can I trust that a God who loves me can forgive me? Think about it. Matthew 21:21. If you have faith and do not doubt, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Build your faith. He said, if you have faith, how do you gain faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you have faith, build your faith up. Build your faith up on the word of God. Build your faith that you have accepted Jesus. He paid it all. And now you are standing in a different position, not a position of defeat, but a position of authority and victory. Build your faith up. Take the time to understand what faith is. The substance of things not seen. The substance of things not seen. It's a substance. It's a substance, which means it can come into a tangible thing. Do you have the substance of faith? If you will, I will. If you will, I will. Faith teaching has got such a bad rap. It really has. I laugh because they say, are you one of them blabbing or grabbing people? I say, well, I'd rather be blabbing and grabbing. Okay. Okay. And they're not asking for nothing. Okay. Seriously. Right. Open your mouth. Begin to ask. Begin to seek. Begin to build your faith. Amen. Amen. So faith, if you believe, begin to believe. There's an if to that. Come on now. See, we want to read over this stuff and we don't want to have no belief. You know, we want to go and ask him for stuff, and we don't even believe ourselves. We don't believe our own words, let alone God's. Build your faith up. Mark 9:23. If you can believe, all things are possible. I want to believe. We get beat up so bad sometimes that it's like, I'm just tired. I don't believe anything's going to happen good. Okay. But if you can just muster up that belief, if you can just get in the Word and begin to read His promises and begin building it up. He doesn't say you have to be perfect. He just says, if you can believe my Word, all things are possible. And the crazy thing about this, in this setting, he's talking about the rich people in the eye, of the, going through the eye of the needle, the camel going through the eye, and his apostles like, can anybody be saved? Hello? What does that tell you? They were not poor men. If you can believe, all things are possible. John 10:9. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. You have to believe that. If you believe in me, then I will save you and give you eternal life. There's a if. There's a cost. I have to let go of all of my natural mind thinking that there's a triune God and where is he? I can't see him. And you have to let go of all of that. And you have to believe that he is my God. And we enter in by him, my God. John 9:31. If you are a worshiper of God, he hears you. We have this gift to give to God. And that is our worship. That is your gift to God. Because God does not worship himself. God is a God of relationship. And if you're a lady, I can relate to this with ladies. It is so nice to know that your husband adores you and just thinks you're the most beautiful thing up under the sun. It says wonderful things about you and to you. That just makes your day. You're like, I am Superwoman. I can do it all. You know? No, really. Think about it. Come on. Because when he's talking mad and bad about you, you feel like, come on. The effects of that. Okay? And vice versa. When you look and you honor your husband, you say, oh, honey, you did such a great job. That was just so wonderful that you did that. I didn't know you could. You're so strong. You got it going on. You're so handsome. And honoring him and speaking words of graciousness and good to him, they get puffed up. Yeah, I'm Superman. Okay? If we are made in his image and in his likeness, amen, and the gift that we have, because after all, he gave us everything, including the air we breathe. We really don't have anything that is not given to us by him, including our breath. But the decision in your mind and in your heart to bless him. Lord, I love you. Oh, God, you are all that in a bag of chips and the bag that came home in. Jesus, you are magnificent. I love you. I can't believe you would do that for me. You did that for me. God, that is so awesome. Yes, Lord, I just want to praise you. I just want to say how magnificent you are. I just want to say how great you are, how thankful I am to you, Lord. Lord, your glory is beyond any. That is what we give to him. And you come into that place, has anybody ever been in a bad place and you just started worshiping God and he just really just came in and just flooded you and you got your answer? Ah, that's what I'm supposed to do. Ah, that's the direction I'm supposed to go. Worship is a powerful thing. Powerful. In the deepest of despair, if you could find that place of worship, that is a doorway out. That is a doorway into the very presence of God. So if you are a worshiper, he hears you in your worship. His ear is always attentive to that one who is worshiping him. It says that there is a book of remembrance that he writes down all the things that his people say about him. Wow. Isn't that something? That we have that ability to get right in his presence through our worship. Worship at home. Don't just make Sunday morning your time of worship. Worship at home. I've pulled my car over driving and the songs would come on and things would, I'd be going through, I would just pull over because I knew I couldn't close my eyes and drive and worship at the same time. And I would just stop and just worship. Oh God, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's the answer. And I'll do that, Father. And every time it has worked out, it has worked out. Be a worshiper. Don't be a complainer. Be a worshiper, because if you, I will. If you, I will. If you worship, I will speak. Oh God, be a worshiper, because God hears you. John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We have the name of Jesus. We have the name of Jesus. Amen. If we ask in his name, according to his will, we will have. If we ask in his name, I will. If we ask in his name, I will. Understand that you have a name that you signed on the check. Hallelujah. And it's the name of Jesus. If you will, I will. That means I don't disrespect that name. I respect that name, because that name is the name that takes me into everything that I need in this life and the hereafter. Oh God, thank you, Jesus. I praise you this morning, Father. John 15:7. If you abide in me, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask and it will be done. And on the side note, I put, ask what you desire. This is what the Word of God says. Ask what you desire. If you abide in me, how do you abide? I live in all that you are, Jesus. My abode is in you. In other words, you are ever present with me in everything I do, everything I say, everywhere I go. Are you going to get it perfect every time? No. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying, have your abode in me. Live in me. Know me. Trust me. Be with me. Understand me. And how do you do that? We dig deep. We dig deep. We want his word. Excuse me. We want his words to abide in us. How does a word abide in you? You have to read it. You have to digest it. You have to understand it. You have to keep it before you. And then you begin to understand that. And that begins to be the prominent area in the way that you think. How do you think? Do you think constantly negatively, or do you think on the level of God's word? Higher level of thinking requires a little bit of more work from you. And a stand that you will listen to what God is saying. You will take his words and you will abide and live by them. Take some time, take some effort, take some practice, but it can be done. Abide in me. And if you ask, it will be done. Abide in me. Know me. Live with me. Understand me. I love that. I want to abide with you, Lord. I may not get it right every time, but I want to abide with you. I want to live with you. I want you to always be with me. Good, bad, and ugly. And I happen to be dwelling in some of the places at different times in my life. The good, I've hit the bad sometimes, and I've hit the ugly sometimes. But how many of you know, as ugly as you can get, it will never take you out of the hands of Christ. Because we have the ability to repent and to turn back to him, and he forgives, and we still abide in him. Never stop abiding in him. Don't let any place that you get in, any mistake that you make, don't let that pull you out of his presence, and you're abiding in him. Understand, yes, I am human. I make mistakes. I go places. I get mad. I do things. Hello. This is the flesh. It is always alive and pulling against the spirit man in me. I have to deal with it every day. But I want my spirit man to abide with you, Christ, because that is my only hope of being successful in my natural walk in this flesh, is if I abide in him. Abide in him and stay with him. And I'm going to close with this. Luke 18:28-30. Let's go to that. I want to, if I were you, I would underline this and go back to this. Every time you have to. Luke 18:28. Now I'm going to tell you something. It will cost you. It may cost you financially. It may cost you relationally. It may cost you in your feelings, in your time. It'll cost you. But I love this, because it says, then Peter said, we have left all and followed you. So he said to them, assuredly, absolutely, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brother or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. You will never, ever, ever, ever give up more, pay more, do more, sacrifice more than Christ will give back to you. Never, ever. It's telling you, whatever you had to give up, whatever you had to walk away from, whatever has hurt you, whatever relationship, whatever goods, whatever job, whatever friendships, whatever kids get mad at you and don't want to talk to you ever again, whatever. There's nothing that you have given to me for the sake of the kingdom that I will not give back to you and more. And more. Not only in this life, but in the life to come eternal. God. God, okay. So the cost that we pay is nothing in comparison to what we gain. Because after all, the greatest price that was ever paid was the price of Jesus' life. That we could, at a minimal, give up something, position ourselves to receive so much more. So much more. I love going into the store and finding a $200 dress for $20. You know. Uh-huh. No, women can relate to that. Yeah. You know, and sometimes when I stop thinking, man, this is like Christ, okay? You know, it costs more than I had originally. You know, it costs more than I had. But he saw fit to give me something I could never afford. I could never pay for. So much more. Father, I just thank you that you have given us so much more in your Son. I thank you, Lord, that in giving my life away, that we find life and life eternal in you. I thank you, Jesus, that your word tells us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And so, Father, we walk in the light of your word. We rejoice in the possibilities of living in your kingdom and all the things that you have paid for, and that we can walk in these things and we can rejoice in these things. And the little that we have to give, Father, is so much less than the greatness that you want to pour out onto your people, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the ultimate price that was paid, that we could live and move and have our being in your kingdom, Jesus. We thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. We thank you, Father, that no matter what, Father, oh God, that we can come to you and we can repent and you pour out your love and grace on us. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word today, and we count the cost, but it is so worth it. It is so worth it. It is so worth it, Lord. And so, Father, today I ask you, if there is anyone in my, that hears my voice today, that if they are in that place where they have felt that the cost has been too much, that, Lord, you would open their eyes to the benefit of who you are, that you would reveal yourself to them in a greater magnitude. And so, Father, as we go our prospective ways today, Lord, I ask you to bless your people, Lord. I ask you to speak to your people, Father. I ask you to guide your people. I ask you, Lord, to open up doors for them. Show yourself great in their life, Lord. And Father, I pray traveling mercies over each individual this morning as they go their prospective ways, rejoicing in you, Lord, and praising your holy name, Father. And we are careful, Lord, to give you the praise and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. I pray I bless you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here this morning. Pastor will be back next week. Amen. Amen. If anybody wants prayer this morning, I'll be here in the altar for a minute here to pray with you. If I could have the prayer team come up, please. Amen. Amen. And the rest, you're excused. And we're just going to take a few minutes to pray in the altar this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Amen. I love you guys.